And so here we are, worldwide live through the internet with BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS. Thank you, Don, for making this possible. I welcome all the people that are joining in online. Thank you for being here. We can see you. We can hear you. It's great to have you anyway. This is, as usually, a simulcast for the conference call. We have some people on the phone line. This is Wednesday. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Good evening, Jeannie. Welcome to the call.
Hey, hi. It's Bob, hi. Chico.
Hello, Bob. Welcome to the call.
Glad to be here, brother.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, this is Jim Clark. Hello, hello, hi. This is Jim.
Sedona, Jim. Welcome to the call.
Well, thank you very much. And hello to everybody out there in the radio land.
Hi, Jim.
All right.
Hello, Jim.
Hi, hi. Hello, everybody.
What about phone?
Hello. Hello, Marshall. Welcome.
Thank you.
Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Sharmananda.
Dharmananda, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Gilbert and...
Hello, brother Chris. How you doing?
Hey, Ice. What's up, man?
All right. Good to have you here.
This is
Wynn. Mr. Free, welcome.
Hi, Wynn.
Whoa.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi.
Hi, Wynn.
Is Terry here?
Yes, he is. Terry from Friedman? Dallas. Terry Brown. Hi, Terry Brown.
Well,
he might be muted.
Yeah,
I'm muted.
Thank you. Hi, Terry. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Hello, Terry.
All right.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Terry, I think you have the
mute
thing wired.
Hi, Terry.
Now.
I have
Terry,
what?
You have the mute wired.
We have muted. I'm
is Terry Friedman
now.
Here?
Is the mute queen of channeling.
She has now got the mute wired. So to speak.
It should all go automatically, I think.
Is that Gerald?
You need to use your willpower, Wynn.
Huh?
It should go automatically, that he doesn't have to put it.
Well, it is automatic. When she comes on the call, she's not muted. But, you know, she could be locally muted, and then she has to remember to unmute the phone manually, you know?
He has made
in a way it keeps it.
Terry, are you ready to start?
Yeah.
Terry.
I'm as ready
yeah.
as I'll ever be. Yeah.
So
but this phone is then acting weird because sometimes when I touch it, it just turns itself off. When I touch the phone.
You're lucky that anything works around you. Okay?
I'm not. It's like I get high energy and it all turns off. Even the street lights turn off.
Me too.
You too?
An echo. Hold on one sec.
Me too.
How many of you make streetlights turn off?
Yeah, yep. I've done that.
Saving a lot of energy.
All right.
It's harder to turn them back on, though.
Oh, well.
After I leave the area and I look back, after I'm quite a ways away, they turn back on.
Who can't wear watches?
I can't.
I can't wear a watch.
Not in a time.
I can't either.
I can make
is that because you break them or because they irritate you?
I break them. They break.
Isn't that fun?
It's the time thing.
The time speeds up and then stops.
One time I turned off the electricity for all of British Columbia.
Good job.
I was having dinner with my ex-husband, and I was looking at the electric wires and wondering about the current flowing through them, and all of a sudden it was too much energy and I couldn't stand the energy, and all the lights immediately went off. My husband said, "What did you do?" And the lights were off for a couple of days, and they couldn't figure out why. And it finally, they traced it to a power surge in the area where I was.
I didn't phone over there because we were busy downstairs.
Go figure.
Admit to nothing.
Because it was supper hour.
Well, the moral of this story is: don't get Terry mad.
Oh, yeah. Like that movie Carrie.
Hey, don't let them start thinking about your wiring.
All right.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
Hey, this is April 8th, 2015. Everybody everywhere, and I think the hot story of the moment is Carla, all right? And, you know, when people that have crossed over, I don't look for this ever, you know? And I don't really want to look for it, you know? I don't want to be a... how can I say it? John Edwards, talking to people that have died. But oftentimes, somebody will ask a question on our Wednesday calls. And I mean, you guys have been watching occasionally. A lot of times they say the person's not disposed right now. They're not available. They're going through stuff. But occasionally, suddenly, the person that they're asking the question about comes, you know, gives some kind of message. And usually I can't confirm that they were who they said they were. But usually the person who asked the question that knows the person said, "Oh, my God, that's them." You know, they say something that that person can identify with. Now, you know, one of the things is, on the Sunday call a few months ago, we all put Robin Williams in the light, and I think you know that there was this cryptic comment after the Elohim part of the channeling that came through that said, "It's a long journey to the land of Nod." And I said, "What was that?" And
he said, "I took a long journey into the land of Nod, the land of Nod, which is drink, which is like he's making a joke."
And the land of Nod. Is Nod an alcohol drink, Terry?
It's a Scottish drink that it may be alcohol. I'm not sure.
Probably is. Well, in any case, I said, "What was that?" And then afterwards, we did a session, and I said, "Robin, are you there?" And then suddenly came through again, and then I asked the question.
It was funny, because Wing called in the light, and Robin asked if he should leave when it said anything negative should leave now.
Right. Well, I said, that sounded like something Robin might say. And then I started talking to him. And then I was asking him questions, like I was really trying to verify it was him. I said, "Robin, what's your phone number?" And he said, "I can't remember." And then I said, "What's your manager's name?" "I can't remember." And then he said, "You know how when people have Alzheimer's, they can't remember things because their brains are
broken.
Their brains are broken. Imagine what it'd be like to be without a brain. So, I got the feeling that when you leave your body, you know, he still had his ability to make jokes and everything, but the memories were not there. And so, I would try to do the same thing with Carla, but I don't think she'll remember. But if she does, it'd be interesting. But was that Carla on Sunday? You know, Terry, I'm not expecting Carla to come through today. I'm not anticipating that. I'm not asking for it. I'll tell you what I did do, though. I have another little comment from Carla from our Sunday calls, which John Swarovski is spending the time editing these out. So thank you, John, if you're there. But
yeah,
we
would appreciate it.
Here's a Carla comment from Sunday. Not this Sunday, some Sunday.
I think anybody that has ever had the experience of being blown off by a guy or a gal that was just after making love, and when they reached that goal, that was it. And it was sad truth that all of a sudden became painfully apparent. Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that hurts. That really, really hurts. But there it is. That's what happened. And you can't get mad at a person for being true to his focus. This is what is happening. And
mm-hmm.
This is what is real. And
mm-hmm.
and so, okay. You know, we're much better off saying okay and then moving on than we are trying to go after it and bring it back. I'm speaking from a woman who's been blown off very short of the altar by a first
mm-hmm.
love who swore that he would love me forever. And that forever was precisely until he was able to make love to me. Well, you know, surprise, surprise, I was very innocent. I was a high schooler. And
mm-hmm.
and this guy was a 23-year-old, you know, guy in the Army. What did I know from? I didn't know from that.
Mm-hmm.
So I
mm-hmm.
learned the hard way, and I think so many of us do.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I learned the hard way, too, on that. It's like
it hurts. It hurts so badly. And you feel like you've lost somebody to the processes of death. I mean, it's a real grieving, and the guy's not worth it. But you don't know that. You're just a kid, and you love with all your young and vulnerable heart. And all of a sudden, bam, you're sitting flat on your can in the driveway, you know, pointed out. And, okay, I think I'll pick up my butt and go home. And, oh, my gosh, that hurts. And it hurts for a long time. But you learn that way.
Yeah.
You too, huh?
All right. So, Jerry?
Yeah.
Why don't you share what's been happening with Carla? I mean, share what happened before the call. And she was kind of connecting with you afterwards. I thought it was very interesting how you described it. And I think people will really appreciate hearing about it.
Yeah, well, it's being on in the other world, and kind of not in the higher realm, but like in between realms, is not quite what Carla was thinking that it would be, because she didn't realize how much she would miss the tactile, the touching, the communication, the sounds of the voice and people hearing it. And so she was getting used to, like, how do I operate over here? And she thought maybe she could say something to the group through me, because sometimes I do bring it through other like people that have passed over. And so, but she was thinking about it, like, how does she connect with me, or how does she communicate with me? And so she was, like, feeling her way. And I could feel, I could see, or sense her presence. And she was very clear. Oftentimes, people have a little fuzziness or a little mist or ghostness about them, but she was like totally clear, like a very clear space she was occupying. And she was like thinking to herself. She wasn't thinking to me, but like, how does she go with connecting to me to be able to say hello to the group? Because she really enjoys the contact with each of you, and the contact of being in the group. And so I picked it up from there when we just fell into it, where she would come close, and I would enunciate the words that she was thinking. And I wasn't too sure how it would work either, because, like, I've got through some people where it's like I would translate it all. But she came through directly so that she would take the voice and we'd operate together, and I would say what she was wanting to say. And she's really feels that she's really trying to support Jim. Like, Jim is doing a magnificent job of getting everything together and taking care of everything, and she's right in there with him, working to do anything she can, energy-wise or anything, to support him, anything she can figure out to do. And when asked the question about Don, she said, "Don's magnificent." But I could, it was, that's what she said, and but I got a vision with it. I could see Don, and Don was magnificent in the way he was shining with light. He was shining like jewels at a very high frequency, and he was magnificent with all this light shining through him. And so I think that that's essentially, she said she was looking forward to everybody coming and to the funeral, and she appreciated all the cards and the flowers people were sending, and she really, really heartfelt appreciates it. And then she's in the back kind of her mind, but there's the future track that she will walk, where she needs to get move to the higher realm, where it's easier than being in the in-between. In the in-between, it's like you're still trying to connect with the people and the people. How do you get in touch with them? Because, like, you don't have the voice to put out the vibration. And so the connection with people in the manifest, you don't have the body, so it's hard to move things around and stay in touch. So she's in the back of her mind, although it makes her kind of sad, she's thinking she needs to go on to the next step, whatever that is. Anyway, so that's what happened.
Thank you. Well, we don't know what's going to happen next, but if she shows up, you guys will be the first to know about it. And
I feel like she's, you know, she said on the Sunday call, you might, if you didn't hear it, you might go and listen. Because,
This was the Monday call, right?
It was a Monday call.
It was a Monday call, not a Sunday call. It was Monday, you're right. It was last Monday, 2 days ago. You might listen, because I don't know if she'll be back. She's, like, working really hard with Jim to support Jim and paying attention to all the details of getting ready for all the people coming. She hopes, you know, to the funeral. She doesn't hope. She knows that a lot of people will come.
And by the way, you guys are all invited. If you're anywhere near Kentucky, I haven't sent it out, but it's going to be on April 17th at the church she attended. And I'll send out a notice about it. But if you want to make plans, that's the day, okay? And let us go to the questions for today. Without any more ado, and hang on a second. All right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect everyone here and any negativity be taken to the highest realm of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the soul of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And I'll turn it over to our sources to give us a greeting.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. And we take a moment and we say hello and come close to each and every person who wish to be touched or wish to have us close to them. We do not come over the voice. We do not come over the computer or the telephone line. We come straight to you wherever you are. And whenever you listen to this, it is not time sensitive. And we are joyful that we are able to be of assistance. If something we say does not resonate as being the truth for you at this time, then disregard it. And even if another person has a question that is even the same question as you, the answer may be different for that person, totally different than it is for you. So be careful and only take the things that are said that resonate with you. You have questions?
Yes, we do. Don Herman is asking about spirit guides. Many people will say everyone has a spirit guide. and that whether we know it or not, they're there. The implication is they're all positive. Some people say that some spirit guides are actually our ancestors, are people that loved us and that hang around us in order to give us energetic support. Some people say that spirit guides are sometimes negative. I would ask the question to just Don asked the. I'm going to ask another question of Don's, but could you give us an overview of this idea of spirit guides?
Thank you. Let us put out a graphic example, and we do not mean to dash water on your idea, but the Catholic Church, and we are not recommending the Catholic Church, but it just would be noted that they are training many more people in the removal of negative entities from people. They're giving classes in it for priests only. So it does bring up the point that there can be a possession over certain people. Now, the possession is different than a spirit guide. A spirit guide will stay in the background and give energy and love and even guidance as the person asks, as the person wishes it, but they grant free will. There are other people who would, the wannabe spirit guides, who would try to possess somebody, even from a distance, to get them to do something that the spirit wishes done. We suggest caution and to really use discernment in anything you would pick up and consider a spirit guide. There are spirit guides with intense wisdom, spirit guides with intense love. For instance, give us a moment. Angelic forces sometimes do not have the experience or the wisdom to be able to guide one in the best way, although they have good intentions. So when you take a look at your spirit guides, and we also question whether everyone has a spirit guide or not. There may be people who, for one reason or another, do not have a spirit guide. There are all different kinds of combinations. A majority of people do have spirit guides and angelic forces that look after them. And when they leave, the spirit guide coordinates with the heavenly realm to bring in the tunnel of light or to be available to see what it is that the person might need to keep them on track at the moment of transition. Thank you.
Thank you. If somebody was in a desperate state in their life and they were calling to say, spirit guide, I need help, would that create a circumstance where they could easily get a negative source because they're desperate?
Each situation is different. We suggest if people listening to this call get into that situation, that they get into the highest vibration state that they can and ask of the highest, the most pure, the most loving to help. and we will hear, and God will hear. We are not God, but we are like God's helper. Thank you.
Now, Don's second question is relates to this. I've had a couple of psychic people tell me I had some sort of energy or entity around me, that it was not serving my best interests. Can you give me any information on that?
Yes, we see that that is true, and it is slowing you down. It is acting like a delay capacitor. It is more than one entity within a group of entities, and they do not know that they are slowing you down, and they think that they are you. And we see this, and how to deal with it is simply to observe yourself, give love, not make wrong, do not judge, give love. You are hearing this now. Give love to that group. It is lacking in love and needs love. We send love. We impart love to this group. We impart light to this group. And we say, let it go if the opportunity comes up. And if you leave that, you can sort it out. And we love you, and you are learning. You are lucky to be with such a good person. Thank you.
Thank you. This is a question from me. And the question is, many people believe that they have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I read a very interesting channeling from someone else that said, Jesus, when he was on the other side, was able to replicate his soul many, many times, so that replicated soul, there was enough replicated souls to work with as many people who would call on him. And of course, when Jesus was alive, he talked about the Holy Spirit, and that obviously people were having an experience around him of a very high lifted energy. So the two questions are, this idea of having a personal relationship with Jesus, is there anything true about this replicating soul that could happen as many times as was needed to satisfy the need, the demand, and what was the Holy Spirit that people were experiencing when Jesus actually was in the physical and people were experiencing this upliftment of energy? Thank you.
Thank you. Jesus was able to, we do not look at the words as being exactly descriptive of process. The process is that an individual can go totally nonlinear as Jesus did and can do multitasking many things at the same time and have aspects available of himself that is available to anyone. Therefore, everyone can have a personal relationship with him. Who else the Father, we see that Jesus was connected with the Father. He was connected with the Ra group, and beyond the Ra group, he was connected with God, who is totally nonlinear.
That's the completion of the answer?
Yes.
So when people felt this energy, they were feeling aspects of the Ra group and aspects of the one infinite creator?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Question from Sija Hill. I think I am getting memories from my time in Egypt or some other past life. I am sensing and getting images of the color azure blue, and gold. It seems like gold writing or symbols on an azure blue background. I feel a sacred and spiritual connection to it. When I think of the colors, I feel as if I am shifting into a higher frequency. It is sometimes enhanced when Wynn talks. Do you want to give her any confirmation about that experience she's having?
Yes, you are having memories, and the memories will continue and get broader and will fill in gaps here and there, and more will be remembered. We take a look, and we do see azure blue as an artist has made the colors from the paints from Phoenicia, and the gold leaf and a these writings were very delicate and expressed the letters. We see an outline around the gold of a black color, all very, very patiently laid in by hand. And we see a hat that is very tall, and we see a regal countenance. You will remember more and more, and it is good that you remember. Thank you.
Thank you. Ask you the second question next time, okay? Thank you. Susan Rush says, I remember hearing Carla saying that she believed in leprechauns and fairies and such. Are there really leprechauns or fairies? And are they ETs looking like leprechauns and fairies? Thank you.
Thank you. There are leprechauns and there are fairies, and they have their own culture. They are nature spirits. Leprechauns can play tricks. Are they ETs? They're their own culture. We take a look further. They are certainly not human in nature, but they have their own culture. They are from this planet, nature spirits. And they are invisible. They have the ability to be invisible and to travel. from place to place to disappear, to appear. Most people cannot see leprechauns or fairies, but some people can see them. Thank you.
Thank you. Wendy Joy in Montreal, Canada, I'm going to ask your first question and ask your second question next week, okay? I have the symptoms of you, as you have described them, of being a wanderer or a starseed. Amongst them, never ever feeling like I belonged here. I can remember being in tears after hearing the song Allison by Elvis Costello many years ago. The lyrics go, Allison, I know this world is killing you. And that was exactly how I felt, like being here was killing me. Am I a wanderer? And I'm just going to ask the question for her, which is implied here. If I'm a wanderer, do I have to feel like the world is killing me? I hope you don't mind me asking that, Wendy.
Well, we take a look and we prefer her to ask her own question. We see that she is indeed a wanderer and that it is not necessary to stay here forever, but you might ask yourself why you came here, why you got stuck here and felt like you can't leave. Is there something you wish to accomplish here, like to be able to get along better in difficult circumstances? We see that there is a challenge for you to be here, to continue to do the functioning that is necessary to be done here. And it will, although very difficult, make you stronger. And if you don't like what you see, you can ask for a different location in your future life. However, sticking it out and working through it here will build a big foundation, a good foundation that will stead you, put you in good stead in easier places to be. It is a challenge to be in this third density where you are.
Thank you. You know, I wanted to just make a comment from my own experience, because I certainly have felt that way. And the way that I learned this for myself was that when you come from a higher place, you are used to a faster timeline. And when you come here, it suddenly slows down. And but it is possible to find a way of being here and to be in a faster timeline. And you have to look at those situations where you were in, where you had the experience of time moving fast. Many people come on our calls and they start to have that experience on the call, like it's an hour, it's like it's 2 hours, and we jump into the call and my God, the call is over already? That was an hour, but it didn't seem like an hour. That's an example of moving in a higher timeline. And one of the things about being a service, true service, is that it moves you into a higher timeline. when you're truly giving and receiving and there's gratitude, there's a faster transaction of energy that happens than when you're just doing the mundane things like a 3D life. And of course, it's different for everyone. It's unique for everyone, but everyone who comes in with this has to figure it out, and you have to pay close attention, because sometimes it's easier than you think, and you keep feeling separated from everything, and then you start to give up, and you think there's no way to do this, and then it becomes sad, you become depressed, and you become locked in to that separated feeling. You know, a lot of people that have ADD, young people that have ADD, or even old people, the reason they have ADD is because their consciousness, this is my opinion on this anyway, their consciousness came in from a higher timeline, and they're moving too fast for this realm, and ADD is the way it expresses itself. Like, they can't focus on things of this realm. They can't. It's too boring. It's too slow. And they have to find a way to activate higher timelines in their life. Oftentimes, people who are artists or musicians have this. But I would say everyone that's a wanderer, on some level or another, has to figure out how to reconcile the timeline that they came in from to the timeline in this realm. Now, that's my ideas, and I'll just let my sources, our sources, have the last word in case I'm not, if there's something incorrect about the way I'm looking at it.
That is a very good way to look at it. When one is in their light body, everything is much faster. When one is in their flesh body, the flesh, the body has to catch up. And so one may have a thought, and it takes the body a while, the physical universe a while, to catch up with the thought. One can think, I want to travel to New York City. And in their light body, they can travel to New York City instantaneously. However, in their physical body, they have to take the train, and they have to take some vehicle, and they have to move through all of the things of the physical universe to make it happen in the physical universe. So it is quite a trip to learn to operate in the third density.
Thank you. Question here from Rich Buckley on the Divine Feminine. Now, I want to make a comment before I read Rich's question. I have read, and I think this is true, that in the epic, the long-term epic of the history of beings, there are times when the feminine dominated, and there are times when the masculine dominated, and it often swings back and forth over very long periods. And in the general world, it feels like the masculine in recent epochs, we're talking about thousands of years now, maybe longer, has been the dominating women, obviously, and dominating this realm, perhaps, and that there is a swing in recent times to the feminine becoming more dominant. I won't say that it's there yet, that there's a swing. But my opinion is all of these things have to do with swings in 3D. And anyone who works through the idea of getting beyond duality will end up being above this swing. And maybe one could call them androgynous, or one could call them enlightened, or one could call them beyond duality. And that the domination aspect of this is transcended. And there's still the honoring of the divine feminine and the honoring of the divine masculine qualities, but not in a sense nobody's trying to dominate. And in fact, a person that has come to the place of beyond duality will feel very comfortable in being masculine or feminine. And I'm not talking about they have to be bisexual or anything, just in the energetic expression that in a circumstance, they have no trouble being receptive, if that's what the situation called for, and they have no trouble being thrusting, if that's what the situation calls for. And they're not locked in to either position. And that's a good way to monitor yourself and see if you can master those qualities of being beyond having to express in a thrusting or a receptive way. And each one has its unique power, and that each situation can draw the power of that particular thing. When someone locks into a role like they have to always be thrusting, they probably lose many opportunities to flow, and vice versa, you know, have to be feminine and be dominated. But let me ask his questions. Are we currently living in the epoch of the rise of the divine feminine? Does the Elohim feel any dominant energy pattern engulfing third dimension human life as between male and female energies that we humans are currently experiencing? And that's from Rich Buckley in Livermore.
Thank you. We see that individuals in their own reincarnations are sometimes female and sometimes male. And there's a number sometimes of body types that need to at birth be modified in their experience aspects of both in their body type. But an individual experiences and gets growth from being one or being the other, as far as the consensus, the general rule, it does switch back and forth. Sometimes the feminine and for a long time, and sometimes the male and for a long time. And sometimes, like in the swing now, where there is more of a feminine play coming in, the feminine have a attitude then that they have been subjected to holding down or holding back, or they've been treated unfairly, and so then they do not do any better, and they treat the male unfairly. And neither the male or the female, if they are so dominating in society, a good example, or are benefiting by being so dominating. As Winna said, that it is important to be able to express what has come up at the time. To be vulnerable is all right for a male, or if a female needs to take control of the situation, that is all right. And they may be put in the place or feel like they have to act out a certain role. With the Elohim, us, we are very open, and we're vulnerable, and so we have a lot of the female aspects about us. And the Ra group, which us are also part of the Ra group that are coming through, and Ra'an, have the frequencies, have experienced the frequencies of the Earth, which are lower frequencies. And so we have a more masculine taking hold of these frequencies. And we as the Elohim, now we're switching back and forth here, are coming through as lacking some of the Earth frequencies. So we do not have that quality of bringing through some of the lower frequencies. But we're, you might call us, neither feminine nor masculine. And also, the Ra group, so you might call us, Ra group, more masculine, in that we express a lot of the frequencies of the third density in our aura, in our light body. We hope this helps.
Thank you. Yes, that's a good answer. And there's two people, Joanna Brown, I think. Let me just check here.
To give up.
What?
It's time to close the call.
Okay, now I am going to close. I'm not going to ask these questions. I just wanted to say, Kayla, send me your question again and put your city. And Joanna, send me your question again and put your city for personal questions, particularly if we've never asked your question before. It helps them tune into you better. And on that note, thank you all for being here. And that's Joanna Brown. And thank you, Hise. Thank you, Carla. If you're looking down on us, we love you. And thank you, Terry. And we'll end this call.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
I'm trying to you all.